We're certainly thankful for your presence here today. There are many other places that you could be. We're thankful that you made the choice to come and to worship God with us today. We've been looking at some lessons in regard to Bible exhortations, and the exhortation that we want to look at today is in regard to God urging us. And we said, you know, to exhort is to urge, to beseech, to try to get someone to pursue a certain course of conduct. And we want to note that God urges us to obey him. You say, well, that's pretty simple. Well, it's a simple concept for us to understand that we should obey, but sometimes it's difficult for us to put that into practical application when it comes to obedience itself. Because, see, we have a choice. Will we choose to obey God? Will we choose to submit to his will? Will we choose to follow the things that are revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures? Or will we submit to those things in our life? Now, when we're talking about this term obey, Vines defines it as to be in subjection, to submit, or to trust. And the word obedience, which we will use quite often also, means to obey, to give ear to listen to attend, to fulfill God's commands, or to fulfill the apostles' counsel, to obey the truth. Now, we want to note that from the beginning of time, God has always urged his people to obey. Just think back to the garden. God placed man in the garden, and he gave him some instructions, and man had the choice to obey or to disobey. But God has always urged man to obey. So when Moses is selected as the leader of the people of God in Deuteronomy the 11th chapter, in verse 26, note what he says to those people. He says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods, which you have not known." In other words, to go after your own ways. There's a way that we need to go that's God's way. But God gives us the choice in this matter. He created us as free will human beings. Do we make the choices that please God day by day? Now, we know that we fail, that we don't live perfect lives, but we're talking about, generally speaking, what is our approach to life? Are we striving to please God? Are we striving to follow his word, to walk in the light, to have the proper love for his truth? So the purpose of our lesson today is just to look at a few things that God says in his word about obedience. And we need to understand, just as Moses told the children of Israel, obedience has its consequences. If you obey, you'll receive blessings. And disobedience has its consequences. If you disobey, you will receive cursings. So let's go in our Bibles and let's look, and I ask you to follow along with me in the scriptures, and let's look at some of the consequences that are spoken of. We're here in the book of Deuteronomy. Turn over to the 28th chapter, if you would. Deuteronomy 28, and let's look there in verses 1 through 6 of Deuteronomy. It says, "Now it shall come to pass," to listen to the words, how Moses puts this to the people. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God." Now see, many people who are Christians would say, well, you know, I try to obey God, but here Moses is giving instructions that the people needed to diligently obey. You know, what does the scripture tell us? That we are to study or to give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need also to be giving diligence. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. See, the voice of the Lord, Moses was able to hear the voice of the Lord and instruct the people. Well, we have the voice of the Lord today through the scriptures. Are we diligently listening to the voice of the Lord? Are we trying to diligently obey these things? It says, blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. So if the people of God wanted to receive blessings in Old Testament times, what did they need to do? They needed to hear the voice of the Lord and obey him. What do we need to do today? If we want to receive blessings, we need to hear the voice of the Lord as he speaks to us through the scriptures that are revealed to us in the New Testament, and we need to be willing to obey him. We were studying this morning in our Bible study there in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 3, we were studying, and it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So the same premise exists today. If we want to receive all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ, what do we have to do? Well, we have to obey. We have to hear what God has to say and be willing to obey him. Turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua, the fifth chapter. And look there at verse 6. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 6. And we want to note also that there are consequences for those who refuse to obey. Blessings if we do obey, but what about if we choose not to obey? In Joshua chapter 6, it says, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the men who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed. Why? Why, Joshua? Why did they have to wander in the wilderness until they all died, till they were consumed? Look at the next line. Because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So just as there are blessings or consequences for obedience, there's also consequences for refusing to obey. And that's the very reason that the children of Israel were consumed, because they refused to obey. Now, here is our problem that we have today. We, in many instances, know what we need to do to obey God, to be pleasing to him, but what do we choose to do? We choose to refuse to obey. We are in rebellion, just like the children of Israel were in rebellion. But somehow we think, well, it's going to be okay with us. All we need to do is look back at how God reacted to those who were his children disobeying him and rebelling. Did God just wink at their sin? Did he just overlook their sin? No, we know the answer to that is that he certainly did not. Turn over a little further in the book of Joshua, the Joshua, the 24th chapter. And I want to look first there in Joshua 24 at verse 20. Joshua 24 and verse 20. And it says, if, and this is Joshua speaking to the people. He says, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. Well, I've been baptized into Christ. I confess Christ. I've had my sins washed away. Yeah, you did what was good. But what are you continuing to do in your life? See, if you forsake the Lord and you begin to serve the gods of this world, the things of this day and time, worldliness, and you get caught up in all those things, what do you think God's going to do with us? Oh, he'll let us go by. No. It says he will turn and do you harm and consume you. We need to know God will not tolerate sin. God will not just wink at sin. God will not overlook sin in our life. And notice as we read, I'm just going to read on down through to verse 24. And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore," he said, "put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." And you know what? They kept that promise. Because verse 31 says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. They remembered the promise that they made to him, and they obeyed the Lord. Well, why do people sometimes have a problem with obeying the Lord? Let's turn over and let's look at an example. Go over to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, verses 17 through 23, and we have the example of Saul. 1 Samuel 15, beginning in verse 17, he said, "So Samuel said, when you were little," he's speaking to Saul, "when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed." Note what he asked in verse 19. "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of the Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, and the best of the things that should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity. But you have rejected the word of the Lord, and he has also rejected you from being king." Now, God is going to determine whether he's going to do good to us or whether he will do harm to us in direct proportion to what we decide to do in regard to obeying him or disobeying him. Now, who did Samuel want to blame this on? He wanted to blame this on the people. He said, "But the people took of the plunder of the sheep and of the best of the things in that regard." He listened to whom? To the people. Why do people not obey the voice of the Lord today? It's the very same thing. We listen to the voice of the people out in the world that are calling us to engage in worldliness and all these ungodly events and things that are going on. And so we pursue those things because we listen to their voice and we do not listen to the voice of the Lord. Now, later on, he had to admit it was his problem. Look at verse 24. "Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Now, that's a good lesson for us today, brethren. We don't need to fear the people out in the world listen to their voice, listen to their message, and ignore the voice of the Lord and what he speaks to us through his word and what we need to be obeying in our lives. What in many cases we know is the right thing to do. We know the right thing to do, but we just choose to not do it. We need to be very careful about those things. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3, and we see that the rebelliousness of the children of Israel is even mentioned in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 16 through 19, he says, I'm going to go back up to 15. It says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He said, don't harden your hearts and not obey his voice like the children of Israel did. He says, for who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Remember, they had the report of the 12 spies were sent out, and 10 brought back the evil report, and Joshua and Caleb brought back the good report and said, we can go into the land. We can take the land. The Lord said it's a good land. It's a land that's for us. But who did they listen to? They refused to listen to the voice of the Lord. And so we know what happened and why they wandered and why their corpses fell in the wilderness. It says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those, listen, underline this, who didn't get to enter, but to those who did not obey. Those who did not obey. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. See, because if we don't obey God, we can say we believe in God all day long, but we really have hearts of unbelief. We really have hearts that are full of unbelief. Now, obedience is indeed a choice. We are created as autonomous, free will human beings, and the scriptures verify that fact in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Here, Paul, writing to the brethren there at Rome, says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? So God gives us the choice. We get to make the choice. Nobody's twisting my arm in this country in which we live to live in a certain way. To live an ungodly life or to live a godly life. No one's twisting my arm and making me do that. I have the choice, and so do you. The thing is, what will we choose? What will we choose? Look in Romans chapter 2, verse 6, beginning down through 11. Who will render to each one according to his deeds? Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. See, it comes down to what will you choose? What will I choose? We have a choice. Eternal life if we obey. Indignation and wrath if we choose not to obey. That's the choice. That's the choice that God gives to us. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the scriptures make it plain that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all. And a lot of people would like that verse just to end right there, but it doesn't. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. See, we have to obey him. God's grace is extended to us. His mercy is extended to us. But we have to take advantage of it, and taking advantage of it is by our faith and obedience. That's what we have to be willing to do. And we either obey Jesus, or we reject Jesus. It's the same thing that happened when Jesus was here on earth. In John 1, 11 and 12, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God or the children of God, even to those who would believe on his name. Did everyone receive Jesus when he came? No. Everyone did not. He was the master teacher. He was able to perform miracles that could not be denied, that could not be imitated. And yet there were those who chose not to obey him. See, the choice is up to us. And we need to realize God will let us make our choice, but we need to note the outcome of those who reject the gospel, because oftentimes, because we're a member of the Lord's church, because we've been baptized into Christ, we think of ourselves as there's no problem with us in regard to when the Lord returns. Well, let's note what is stated about the Lord's return. Go over to 2 Thessalonians and look at chapter 1 and look at verse 8. And I'm going to go back and read verse 7. It says, to give you who are troubled rest when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Now listen to this next section of this verse 8. Taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as a Christian, what should we be obeying each and every day of our life? The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And sometimes we just shuffle that off and say, that's no big deal, that I'm not being as faithful, I'm not being as obedient as I should be. But note the consequences, brethren, verse 9, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Pretty serious consequence. We're free to make the choice, but we need to remember the outcome if we reject the gospel. If we are not living a life of love and service to the Lord and bearing the fruit that he would have us to bear in our life. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And look there in verse 12. And note what Paul urges these. He's writing to Christians at the church at Philippi. He's writing to people who've been baptized into Christ, who've had their sins forgiven. But notice what he is urging them to do, what he's urging them to continue doing in Philippians 2 and verse 12. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. See, if we're the child of God we should be, we're always striving to be obedient. He says, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What do those words mean? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means continue to obey. Because if you fear, if you have the proper reverence and the proper respect for God, then you are going to continue to obey God throughout your life. And that's what he wanted these Christians at the church at Philippi to be doing. So what do you think Paul wants for us? What do you think Jesus wants for us? What do you think God wants for us to do? Just to obey him today? Oh, I'm going to obey him today. I'm going to partake of the Lord's Supper and I'm going to put a dollar in the plate when it comes by. I want to obey him today. He doesn't just want us to obey him today. He wants us to obey him today, but not just today. He wants us to be working out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. Now, one thing we want to make a point of, and I think we know that, is that obedience is for our good. Obedience is for our good. For our own good. We understand that when we come to children, right? God's instructions to children, Ephesians 6:1, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why do children need to obey their parents? It's the right thing to do, and it's also, it's the good thing. It's good for you. It's good for you to learn to submit and obey your parents. And parents, it's incumbent upon us to teach our children to learn to submit to us and to obey us, to be obedient. It's the right thing to do. It's the good thing to do. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Why do you want to teach a child to learn about obedience? Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't teach them when they're little, when they're toddling, and when they're starting to walk and get around, and you wait, well, I'm just going to wait till they're a teenager, and then I'll start teaching them about obedience. Woo, you know, waited way too late now. That's not going to work. Not going to work. Children can learn what no means at a real early age. They can learn that. They can understand. They can grasp that concept. So we have to teach them. Obedience is good for children, but it's also good for us. Go over to the book of Titus, the third chapter, Titus chapter 3, and look there at verse 1. And in Titus 3, 1, it says, Paul's writing to Titus, and Titus is there on Crete, in Crete, and he's teaching Christians. He's saying, remind these Christians there on the Isle of Crete, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. So we are also, it's not just children who are instructed to obey. We're instructed to obey those in positions of authority in government. Why? Because it is something that is good for us. And that principle of God, that God approves of government, is brought forth in Romans the 13th chapter and verses 3 and 4. So turn over there with me, if you would, Romans 13 and verses 3 and 4. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you, for good. If you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So obedience is not only good for children, it's good for us as adults, for younger people to learn to submit to the authority of the government. And also in the Lord's church, there's a need for us to learn obedience and to be willing to submit. Turn over to Hebrews the 13th chapter and look there in verse 17. Hebrews 13 and look at verse 17. And here it says, obey those who rule over you. And that is signifying those who would be of the eldership. We are to obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So we are to obey those who rule over us, those who are in positions of authority. Why? He says it's good. It's for your good. They're watching out for your soul. So if we have people, though, as children, they were not taught to obey their parents. As young adults and adults, they were not taught to obey the government. Then if they consider being obedient and submitting to Christ, how likely is that to happen? If they've never obeyed their parents, they've never obeyed an authority, they've never obeyed a person in a position of authority, how are they going to obey Christ? And then some of us who have obeyed Christ might not be willing to submit totally to Him and obey Him and everything. We want to pick and choose what we obey. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. We have to obey him and submit to him in each and every aspect of our life. Now, we realize, and someone will probably say it if I don't mention this, but there is an exception to this rule in regard to obedience, that we always obey God even before we would be obedient to man. And that principle is taught in Acts the 5th chapter, verse 28 and 29. It says, "Did not we straitly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, if we ever come in conflict in regard to something that's, if the government said we could not assemble and worship God on the first day of the week, we would still have to find a place to assemble and worship on the first day of the week. We might have to do it in secret. But we would still have the need to heed the authority of God and obey him in regard to his word. Well, let's look at some examples of obedience. We're going to go through these fairly quickly, but I wanted to give you some examples because sometimes we feel like, well, you know, it's just difficult in this world we live in to submit and to be obedient to God and to do his will in each and every aspect of our life. I don't think there was a more difficult time than the time that Noah lived in. Difficult time. Difficult time. Verse 5 of Genesis 6 says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually." But look at what Noah did. Verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Now we know that Noah is spoken of as a person of faith. And if you go over to verse 22, it says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Did Noah obey God? Noah obeyed God. Was that an easy task, building the ark? You think about it now. Noah's got himself, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. That's the total people that could have been working on this ark. Total number that were probably working on this ark. And yet, he obeyed the Lord. He didn't say, "Lord, you know, I'm one third of the way through building this ark, and it's just too big a job. I'm just not going to be able to do it." See, sometimes when we begin to serve Christ, we think it's going to be smooth sailing. But sometimes it's like building the ark. There's a lot of things in our life that we have to do and continue to do to remain faithful to the Lord. But what choice did he make? He made the choice that we can make. He made the choice to be faithful. Look at the choice of Abraham. Go over to Hebrews the 11th chapter and look at verse 8. And it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed. When he was called to go out to a place where he would receive his inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. But he did what? He obeyed. He didn't understand everything in God's plan. It hadn't all been revealed to him yet, but he still was willing to obey. We have the complete revealed will of God before us today. We can read it. It doesn't have to be a mystery. When we read it, we can understand it. And what do we still sometimes do? We still sometimes fail to obey. Abraham, he obeyed. Go over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, the 31st chapter. And look there in verses 20 and 21. 2 Chronicles 31, verses 20 and 21. And look at the example of Hezekiah in the choices that he made. Quite different from the choice of his father Ahaz. It says, "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah. He did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God." Oh, that, man, if someone could say that about us at the end of our life, that's all we ever did. was what was good and right and true before the Lord our God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and so he prospered. Hezekiah not only did what was good and what was right and what was true, he did it with every fiber of his being. What about Ezra? What choice did Ezra make? In Ezra 17 it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." And the greatest example we have is the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And note what he states in John the 14th chapter in verse 31, and then in John 17:4. In John 14:31, he says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." Whatever God had in his scheme for redeeming man, for saving us, Jesus was willing to do. He was obedient. He was obedient to not only to death, but to the death of the cross, to a death he did not deserve, where we would have been screaming and crying out that we were innocent, we were being framed, all that. Jesus willingly went to the cross and shed his blood for us. Look in John 17 in verse 4. Jesus says, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." See, we need to obey God. We need to do the work that he has given for each of us to do. We need to do that work in our life. Well, hopefully we can conclude that obedience is something that is very important. It's important for each and every one of us, no matter how young, no matter how old. Obedience is something that is important for us. And obedience is something that is for our good, no matter how young, no matter how old. Obedience is always for our good. And obedience will always have eternal consequences. It always has since the garden. It will till the Lord returns. Obedience has eternal consequences. And most importantly, obedience always has been and always will be your choice, my choice, what we choose to do. Will you obey Jesus? He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, most people in the religious world and in denominations do not emphasize obedience to God, to his word, to his son. Whatever seems right to you is what the religious world says. Whatever makes you feel good in your heart. Nothing specific to obey, just believe in God. It's broad spectrum. But Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be damned, will be condemned." Now that's pretty plain. Jesus says there's more than believing. We have to be willing to repent of our sins, to turn from our sin, and to turn to Christ to take care of it. He made the sacrifice. He paid the price. He shed the blood so we can be purchased, so we can be redeemed. He desires for us to confess our faith in him. If we confess our faith before men, he will confess us before the Father in heaven. And once we're baptized into Christ, he desires for us to continue to obey him because we are his children. And it's for our good spiritually that we always obey Jesus. Now, sometimes as children, if you've raised children, if you raised one that's perfect and never did anything wrong, raise your hand. Wasn't me. Okay? Well, we aren't perfect as children of God either. Our obedience is not perfect. But when it's not what it should be, what do we need to do? We need to turn back to the Father, and we need to ask for forgiveness, And if we need the prayers of the brethren to aid and assist us in regard to that, then we need to seek that also. If it's something private, just take care of it, but obey Jesus. Obey Him. That's the invitation that we offer while we stand and while we sing.